The St. John of Damascus Orthodox Educational Initiative presents Asking, Seeking, Knocking.
Hello everyone, my name is Vasilios Hasimakos. I am one of the instructors with the St. John of Damascus Orthodox Educational Initiative, and I'm sitting down today with our headmaster, Father John, in what will hopefully be a regular happening, and we're going to be sitting down to discuss news with the initiative, and also to discuss different topics related to Orthodox education. So as always, we'd like to start with a prayer. So Father John, would you mind starting us off with a prayer?
Absolutely. Let's sing Christ in prison. We only have another day to start singing.
Okay, sounds good.
Christ is risen from the dead by death, as he trampled down death and on those in the grave, hath he bestowed life.
Great, thank you very much. Evlogite, Father.
Kios, good to see you.
Good to see you. How are things?
Pretty good. Very busy, as you know. We have new teachers. We've added to our faculty and new classes, and that's good. We're moving forward with those. We're in the process of wrapping up our first full school year as of the end of June, or in June, the beginning of June, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God willing, we are going to have a summer session as well. But in terms of the full fall spring experience, this is the end of our first year. So there's a lot of work, but mm-hmm. thank God it's good to have a lot of work than no work at all. Right.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And I know you've been so busy, and, we can't appreciate your effort and all the time and the work that you've put in enough. So thank you again, for doing that. I guess we should tell people kind of what we're doing here, what we're going to start doing. So this is the first program, hopefully of many. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be discussing initiative news. We're going to be sharing some initiative news. Mm-hmm. And if there are any announcements, we'll be announcing those announcements. And then we also want to segue into some discussion about spiritually beneficial things, and I don't know what should we call it? Discussions based on the scripture and the fathers about Orthodox education, right?
I think the issue is that we want to understand how to relate Orthodoxy to how we think about education, because you know, in the United States, there's a lot of discussion about the separation of church and state, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In our hearts and minds, there ought to be no such separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, when we study and when we approach education, even secular subjects,
mm-hmm.
we want to be seeing it in the light of Christ. And our study of such things should lead us to greater edification and instruction in the faith, to one degree or another.
Right.
So we want to, one of the things we're trying to do in the initiative is to try to have people think about education not primarily as job training,
mm-hmm.
but as training to be Orthodox human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Which is something that our society and probably most modern societies at this point have twisted. The whole purpose of education, it's always just a stepping stone with the final goal being pushed further and further away. You want to do well in elementary school so that you can then get into high school. So, and you want to do well in high school, so then you can get into college, and you want to do well in college, so then you can get a job, and you want to get a job so you can make money. Mm-hmm. And whereas previously the goal was with the Greeks, it was the attainment of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And when the church baptized that system, the end goal, and what's the greatest wisdom? The greatest wisdom is our Lord. So that should be the end. Would you say?
Absolutely. You know, I often have in front of me the example of St. Justin the Philosopher, which I think I've mentioned in other conversations you and I have had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was in the context of conversations where we recorded them or privately at this point, but I know I've mentioned them. But, you know, St. Justin was originally a pagan philosopher.
Yeah.
But he did so seeking out the truth with a genuine and humble heart. And for that reason, St. John the Theologian appeared to him, engaged him in debate, and trounced Platonism, because of course Platonism is the source of many heresies and errors, even though you know there are certain good things in Platonism. At the end of the day, it's a source of heresies.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Justin said to him, "Well, what then? Should not one seek a teacher?" Mm-hmm. And St. John said to him, "There were men of old who spoke not by their own wisdom, but by the Spirit of God."
Mm.
These men were known as prophets. So then, of course, our St. Justin accepted our Savior. He accepted orthodoxy, but he kept wearing the distinctive garb of a philosopher, because he said, "I have found the true wisdom, even Christ. Philosophy is nothing more than the love of wisdom. So why would I put off my philosopher's garment if I've now found he who is with the wisdom of God himself?"
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He became, in essence, St. Justin became a real philosopher.
Precisely.
At that point. He didn't just become a converted philosopher, he became a real philosopher.
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Right. And that's what we should be doing while we're looking for learning. You know, we want to be humbly looking to any of our studies, secular or spiritual, to lead us to Christ, the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so the first thing that I wanted to talk about today was St. John of Damascus. So St. John of Damascus, he's our patron saint. He's the patron saint of our initiative. So coming in, before I started teaching for the initiative, I only knew two things about St. John of Damascus. One, that he had prayers in the preparation for Holy Communion that he had written. And number two, that he was from Damascus. And I guess number three, that his name was John. So, I know a little bit more now from teaching. And my first introduction to St. John of Damascus was in your Orthodox Apologetics for Adults class, when you use St. John as your way in to thinking to being able to think about the faith and defend the faith according to spiritual methods and logical methods. So, but if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about why St. John of Damascus, why is he our patron, and why his thoughts are so important to what we are trying to do here at the initiative.
Yes. Well, I think that so he wrote this St. John. You know, was born in the late 7th century, and he dealt with so many different controversies. He was educated extensively, as just about all of the great teachers of the church, the great fathers of the church. He was educated extensively, both in secular and spiritual learning, right? But he wrestled with a lot of different concerns. He responded to Islam and dealt with Islam as a heresy. Which a lot of people don't realize that, but Islam is actually a heresy, and which St. John actually talks about in one of his books. He made an extensive treatment of the dogmas of the Orthodox faith in a systematic way, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a second. And he also combated iconoclasm, just to name a few things. I mean, I could go on, but that's extensive all by itself. I think that, of course, a lot of our fathers have done similar things, right? St. Photius, St. Gregory Palamas, St. Basil the Great, all of them had similar qualities. So why St. John? Well, St. John wrote this really great book, which I push on everybody. So I'm going to show it to the viewer.
Uh-huh.
Right? You can purchase it. This is an older copy, but you can purchase the paperback for, I think, 20 or 30 bucks on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in English, St. John of Damascus Writings, but the name of the full book is called The Fount of Knowledge. And it's divided into three parts: the philosophical chapters, a book on heresies, which is basically an apologetic volume, a defense against all these different heresies, whether Islam or Judaism, or whatever the case may be, up until that point, of course, in writing. And then the third part is called the exact exposition of the Orthodox faith, which many people are very familiar with because it's printed, often printed by itself. The interesting thing is St. John didn't print the put out the exact exposition by itself. He put it out together with these other two books deliberately.
Okay.
And in the first book, the philosophical chapters, he deals with natural wisdom. The reason that's important for us in our times is because you've had, you know, throughout the Middle Ages, particularly the High Middle Ages in the West, and throughout the Enlightenment, you've had an excessive emphasis placed on human reason as a means to either understand theology or to refute theology, depending on from the Enlightenment, especially forward, right? And that's produced a lot of errors, heresies, etc. So the response, unfortunately, has been to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And and so we, in trying to avoid being, say, Thomists or Augustinians or whatever ism you want to assign, we've said, we're not going to deal with all that logic and rhetoric and that Greek learning business because it's caused heresies. The real problem there is it's not those things in and of themselves that caused heresies. It's been the misuse of those things that caused heresies. And St. John gives us, given the fact that he gives us this volume that has all three domains in one book, he gives us a pattern how to understand these different kinds of knowledge appropriately and how not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. I'll stop there for a moment. I want to make sure that
And by Thomism and Augustinianism, you just mean this mindset of the baby out with the bathwater, as you're saying. You just mean you're talking about throwing away the meaning with the framework. So you're talking about being Thomists or Augustinianists is trying to enclose the faith within within this prison of logic. Is that
yeah, what? I mean, I think in short, I mean, we could go on, of course, at length about it.
Yeah,
entire courses to talk about.
Yeah.
Sure, if we use Thomism as the better thing, I think, to look at, because it's more demonstrably heretical.
Okay.
If we look at Thomism, what we see is an attempt by Aquinas to completely reconcile revealed truth with human reason, and indeed to arrive at revealed truth through human reason. And that general tendency is rationalistic. It recapitulates the temptation in the garden. You shall become as gods, knowing all things, right? We can know many things by means of human reason. But in order to know who God is and what he wants, he has to reveal himself to us, just as he did to Moses on the Mount, or to the disciples, the apostles on Pentecost.
Right.
He has to reveal himself in various ways. And consequently, we can't figure out his will by means of our reason. So that's when I use those as examples, like Thomism, for example, that's an example whereby human reason was misused and created errors and heresies.
Whereas what St. John does, he puts things in their proper place and in their proper order. He puts the natural reasoning, he puts kind of the natural learning in its proper place in the path to getting closer to God.
Yeah.
And knowing the church and knowing God.
Right. Precisely. Right.
Yeah.
Precisely. Okay. And so that he gives us really a pattern to reassume our heritage. Namely, because this was none of the fathers rejected this sort of learning.
And what do you mean by our heritage?
Well, you mentioned earlier that there was sort of a baptism of classical learning, right? You know, in the first century saw many martyrs. And then as all these martyrdoms were happening, all these miracles were taking place, many people began to convert because they were edified They were built up, right, by the work of the apostles, the work of their disciples. And in that, naturally, in that process, we mentioned St. Justin the philosopher. Many people who were previously philosophers began to become, to convert to Christianity and to make a defense, an apologia, right, mm-hmm. for Christianity before the world. Mm-hmm. And in that process, from that point forward, what we see is the church, the great fathers of the church, looking at what the Greeks did with caution, the pagan Greeks did with caution, but saying, well, look, this here in Homer leads a person to think about wisdom, to think about morality, about how we ought to act. What is it? What is heroic virtue? And some might say, well, Father John, where does it say that? Well, St. Basil the Great, in his address to young men on the value of Greek literature, goes on extensively about this, right? So, I mean, who's going to disagree with St. Basil, right? Certainly not you.
Not
right?
me.
we see, and again and again, St. Gregory the Theologian, St. John Chrysostom, St. Photius the Great. St. Photius the Great has his Bibliotheca, his digest, kind of like the first Reader's Digest. And if you look at it, he has book reviews effectively on all these different books, many of which were pagan in origin. Mm-hmm. Who's going to who's going to accuse St. Photius of not knowing how to separate the wheat from the chaff? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we have the fathers of the church had ample opportunity to reject the liberal arts tradition, the classical liberal arts tradition, mm-hmm. Particularly the trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. They never did that. Mm-hmm. What they did was they took it, as we see in the philosophical chapters of St. John of Damascus, they took it and they showed how it can be used in service of the church. Mm-hmm. And I'll share something with you really quickly.
Sure.
It's on our website, but it's worthwhile given the conversation we're having. Hold on 1 second now. I actually did not mean to talk about this particular passage, but now that you've mentioned it, it's worthwhile related to the conversation. So St. John says, first of all, I shall set forth the best contributions of the philosophers of the Greeks, because whatever there is of good has been given to men from above by God. Since every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. If, however, there is anything that is contrary to the truth, then it is a dark invention of the deceit of Satan and a fiction of the mind of an evil spirit, as that eminent theologian Gregory once said. In imitation of the method of the bee, I shall make my composition from those things which are conformable with the truth, and from our enemies themselves gather the fruit of salvation. But all that is worthless and falsely labeled as knowledge, I shall reject. So what's his standard? His standard is the wisdom of God, even Christ, right? So he's saying, we're not going to throw all of this out. We're going to take whatever's in it that's good, that's conformable, that's in accordance with the life in Christ, and we're going to pass it on to our young people. We're going to pass it on to the flock. But those things that are evil and destructive, contrary to Christ, we're going to leave aside.
Right.
So, and that's the proper middle way, if you will, the royal path, turn not to the left hand nor to the right, but shall follow a straight and narrow path. That's that straight and narrow path that we want in learning. Right. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think that makes sense. That makes sense to me, because especially that fact about if anything is good with a capital G, it has to come from above.
Right.
It has to come from above, no matter what the medium is, no matter who it comes out of. If it is good, and we might only think it is good, but it's not good. But if it is truly good, then it has to come from above. And so it doesn't make sense that we would do away with, either works of art, or works of natural philosophy or anything that have good things in them, because the good things in them come from above.
Right.
And rejecting them outright would mean rejecting the good that's in yeah. them. And we right. all and we all see this in our lives constantly. There are things, there are scientific things that help us provide for our families. That's good. That's a good thing. Yeah. There are artistic, there are moments in art that give us a peek into the transcendent. That really move us, and I don't mean just emotionally, but increase our perspective so that we can glimpse truth. That's good. Those are good things. Those things, because they're good, have to come from above. So that makes that, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
And that's something that I kind of knew in my heart, but had to be told.
Right. You
know, had to be well, told explicitly.
That's the key thing. You know, we don't want to trust ourselves.
Right.
We have to turn to the fathers.
Right.
Right. And so the fathers of the church, their writings are the great treasuries, the vault, if you will, for mm-hmm. all of our treasures. So mm-hmm. we have to turn to them for example and instruction.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So because it's one thing to feel, have a certain kind of, like you say, I kind of felt that way, but I wasn't quite sure about how I should feel. It's one thing for us to feel a certain way, but then when we go to the fathers and they confirm it for us, this is what we really want, because
yeah, that's important.
That now we have a greater confirmation from people who are our instructors in the faith. Yeah. Right.
And because we are so lowly, it can be easy for us to get confused about something.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Whenever we seek to go beyond the example and teaching of the great fathers of the church, we're most likely going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Notice I said the example and the teaching.
Right. Example right. and the teaching. Right. So what is St. John? So thinking about teaching, thinking about learning things, what does St. John have to say about that? How people should learn, or what people, yeah, or yeah, I guess what we should learn, what we yeah. should be learning.
So before, I'm going to answer that, and I want to have a little passage to share with you from his works again. But before mm-hmm. I do that, I want to talk about a problem that relates to this,
mm-hmm.
which is that those of us who work with youth, I'm sure you've come across this as well, notice that there's this expression. I don't use this expression, so I had to almost practice it, but meh, M-E-H.
Uh-huh. Right?
You say uh-huh. something important, like meh.
Right.
Like, it's a bit, basically, it's like, whatever, you know, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Can't be bothered. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting about that is, and sad actually, when we hear that from Orthodox youth, is what they're picking up on is the nihilism that's prevalent in our age. The idea that we can't know anything, nihilism. Is the idea mm-hmm. we can't know anything, or that things mm-hmm. don't really matter.
Things don't matter, right.
Right. And Father Seraphim Book, yes. Father Seraphim Rose uh-huh. has a terrific book actually on this very subject called Nihilism, which I recommend that people read. But so there's a lot of reasons why in our culture, did you freeze?
Nope. Just,
okay.
Just being attentive.
On Zoom, you can't sit still.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of things in our culture that would prompt us to be indifferent to the truth. There's the nihilistic way of thinking, and there's all of our comforts. So, and these two kind of work together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the belief that nothing, you can't really know anything, and things aren't important. And of course, the conscience rebels at that because things must have meaning.
Right.
And to quell that fear within us, we rush to the movie theaters, to Netflix, to all our many distractions. Right, as a way of quelling those concerns, right? And what this has done to learning is that people, if there's no reinforcement as to what's this going to get me on this earth, people don't want to learn. And the first people that are guilty of that are the adults, not the children, because the children just do what we teach them. So hopefully parents are not throwing, I'm a parent too, I'm not accusing people. We all fall into this to one degree or another, myself included. So we're all sinners, but we have to admit to ourselves that we get distracted. And we really have to ask ourselves as parents, do we take time to learn in our spare time, to learn for its own, to engage in learning for its own sake?
Mm. Right.
And now with that, I want to read something from St. John.
Okay.
Which he says right at the beginning of the philosophical chapter.
Okay.
He says, nothing is more estimable than knowledge, for knowledge is the light of the rational soul. The opposite, which is ignorance, is darkness. Just as the absence of light is darkness, so is the absence of knowledge a darkness of the reason. Now, ignorance is proper to irrational beings, while knowledge is proper to those who are rational. Consequently, one who by nature has the faculty of knowing and understanding, yet does not have knowledge, such a one, although by nature rational, is by neglect and indifference inferior to rational beings. By knowledge, I mean the true knowledge of things which are, because things which have being are the object of knowledge. And I can go on, but I think we should stop there for a moment to unpack that.
Yeah. Yeah. And forgive the truck backing out outside of my, up outside my window. So what St. John is basically saying that I really appreciate is that we've been given this gift of rationality.
Right.
That we didn't need to have, but God out of his goodness bestowed this upon us. Right.
Right.
So now we have this knowledge of rationality, this knowledge of being able to gain knowledge and process knowledge and use that knowledge ultimately to get closer to him.
Right.
So we have this gift. And if we're not using this gift, it puts us actually below the irrational animals.
Yes.
It's showing a lack of gratitude.
Yeah.
For that gift that we're given. If I don't know, if wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So if we're given this, we have to use it. And so God in his knowledge gave it to us for a reason. So we have to use it.
Yeah.
And how do we use it? We use it by learning. We're capable of learning. We need to learn. We need to learn the things that bring us closer to him.
Right. In every aspect of our life.
Right. Like right. We talked about before.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if children have to be taught to wonder, for example, so when we walk, well, let's say we go for a walk in the woods. If we look carefully, say like at a leaf, the structure of the leaf will edify us, right? Because there's significance in the order that God has arranged in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not accidental,
mm-hmm.
right? And if somebody's watching this and say, oh, that's just the argument from design, well, so be it. In any case, it doesn't change the fact that it's edifying,
mm-hmm.
right? And our children need to be taught, we cannot always be be in the liturgy. We cannot always be in church. That's a reality. It's a reality even for monks, let alone for people in the world.
Right.
So how do we remain continually edified?
Mm-hmm.
We remain continually edified when we are able to see everything, even the mundane, in the light of Christ.
Right.
So, and that fits in with our rationality in two ways. So in the philosophical chapters, St. John, and in the exact exposition, all in the same book, because it's three parts of the same book.
Mm-hmm.
St. John talks about the fact that when our Savior says, let us make man in our image and likeness, the image is first understood by the fathers as free will. But the other aspect to being rational sheep, to being rational beings, is corresponding to that free will, God gave us the ability to reason. So St. John takes both of these things in mind when he's considering what makes us human beings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's not simply, first, of course, we have to pray, we have to fast, we have to seek out sanctification, mm-hmm. if we are to be educated properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because indeed, grace has to be in everything. But then all of our studies, again, including the mundane, biology, history, etc., should be refracted through the lens of the mindset of the church. So again, that all of it can become a source of nourishment, spiritual and intellectual, and a source of edification.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. And what does the Lord say about learning? Where, what, so how, like, so is, does the, is it in, is that supported by scripture? Is that, that scriptures, whether it's something that the Lord has said, or about finding out about learning, about getting wisdom?
Yeah. Well, there's two things. First, you recall our Savior said, you are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right?
That's pretty essential, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting because, if I remember correctly, in the book The Sculptor and the Stone, recently published, recently in the last several years, by the Center for Traditional Orthodox Studies, there's an explanation, I think it's in chapter 3, but don't quote me on that. I have to go back and double check. But there's a discussion of the fact that when he says our mind there, all of our heart and all of our, with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our mind, it refers to this, to reason. So that all of the aspects, because that book discusses the relationship of natural and spiritual knowledge, the book, The Sculptor and the Stone.
Okay, yep.
I recommend it. It's a good book. And so we're going, the question is not whether or not we're going to use reason. Everybody is going to use reason. Right, have a conversation with somebody that says you shouldn't be reasonable, and they're going to give you a reason why you shouldn't be reasonable. Right? So let's forget about that, because that's they obviously accept that you're supposed to reason, because they're reasoning to prove you to you that you're not supposed to reason. Right? So that's not really the question. The question is, how do we do it, and how are we supposed to use it as Orthodox Christians? Mm-hmm. Those are the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and that's why St. John and the other fathers all retained the study of grammar and logic and rhetoric, right? So that we can be taught how to use reason effectively, how to use language effectively, how to express things effectively, but also how we are to use it as Orthodox Christians, always concerned about the truth, always concerned about what God wants, not what we want. Right.
Right.
The other piece that goes along with that is our Savior says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Right. In the gospel.
Right. Right.
In the gospel of Matthew.
Right. And
St. John actually comments on that passage in the preface of the philosophical chapters. But before I read that section, I want to point out that something about homework. Right. Remember,
we said, at the
beginning, we said we want to talk about, well, how does Orthodoxy relate to education?
Okay.
And I remember when I was doing my master's degree in teaching, we had a discussion about homework, and it was from two points of view. One was, well, the nature of the task. In other words, what is the teacher having the kid do? And the other part was how much they were getting, how much homework. And what's interesting is that the United States fell tremendously low.
So right.
I think China had something like 6 hours of homework a day. And the United States on average was getting about 1 hour per day. Right. So which wasn't the norm 50 or 60 years ago, but has become the norm now.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's a little been a bit of blowback about that, which I'll speak about in a second. So the thing is that when we read, if we read, because now, you know, people want to go on YouTube and watch cute videos. Like, you know, we're having this conversation and somehow we don't have a soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Heaven forbid you just have a conversation.
Oh, I'm putting in a soundtrack under all of this.
Yeah, right. Heaven forbid you just have a conversation without jazz playing in the background.
Right, yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the thing is that when we study, we should be taught to interact with the text. When we interact with the text, when we read the text and we hit into difficulties, the child should not be taught to give up, but to have a humble persistence. And now in relation to that, I'm gonna talk about or read to you St. John's passage that relates both to the fact that We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul. And we're supposed to ask, seek, and knock. Mm-hmm. So this is what he says. And again, this is all just a big advertisement for his book. I want you all to read his book more than listen to me. Right? Uh-huh. So, okay. So this is what St. John says. He says, with our whole soul and our whole understanding, let us approach. And since it is impossible for the eye that is constantly shifting and turning about clearly to perceive the visible object, because for clear vision, the eye must be steadily focused upon the object observed, let us put aside every anxiety of the mind and approach the truth unhampered by material consideration. So I want to stop there for one moment and point out a few things about just those two sentences. So first of all, he says to direct our whole soul, our whole understanding, everything we are, to the prospect of learning, number one. Number two, notice he says it's impossible for the eye that's constantly shifting about to perceive the visible object, to clearly perceive, right? When we're listening to music as we study, when we're texting and doing eight things at once, we're multitasking, quote unquote, we are casting our eye everywhere. It would be like here's the book, and as we're reading, it would be absurd. But the eye of our mind, we might be looking at the book or the text, but the eye of our mind is not singly on the book, not just looking at the book, right? So we have to take all these things in mind when we're thinking about our own habits. Right? Let us not be satisfied with arriving speedily at the gate, he says, St. John, but rather let us knock hard so that the door of the bridal chamber may be open to us and we may behold the beauties within. Then he tells us what the gate is. The gate is the letter, but the bridal chamber within the gate is the beauty of the thoughts hidden behind the letter, which is to say, the spirit of truth. Let us knock hard. Let us read once, twice, many times. By thus digging through, we shall find the treasure of knowledge and take delight in the wealth of it. Let us seek. Let us search, let us examine, let us inquire. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If then we are lovers of learning, we shall learn much, for it is the nature of all things that they may be apprehended through industry and toil, and before all and after all, by the grace of God, the giver of grace. So, the thing is that this has tremendous, this is not just something lofty. This is not just something theoretical. This speaks to even our little habits as parents and our little habits as students, whether we're children who are students or we're adults who are students, right? When we read something, if we have difficulty, what is he saying? Assuming it's worthwhile to read, right? Come back to it. Read again, right? Let us read once, twice, many times. Modern man wants a mechanistic outcome. Well, I did that already. I read all that stuff.
Yeah, I checked the box.
Yeah, I checked the box, exactly.
Right, that's right.
You digested, right?
Yeah.
It's not automatic. There has, in everything, even in education, there has to be the cross. There has to be a struggle. And we have to be looking for it with all of our heart. So as parents, this is exceptionally important, because in our free time, if our children see us studying, they're taught about the significance of studying. In our free time, after work, if we turn on Netflix, they say, Netflix is more important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then we wonder why aren't they concerned about learning? We have to be concerned about learning.
Right. Right.
We have to ask. We have to seek. We have to knock.
Right.
Dare to ask, to seek, and to knock.
Right. And I will tell you that that once kind of those floodgates of study, of wanting to study and wanting to learn, once they're cracked, once they start opening, and they will open exponentially faster. And you will want to learn more than you ever have in your life. And this has happened to me. This has happened to me quite recently, because I was a good student, but in all of the jobs that I worked after college, the job didn't require that kind of study. And so I didn't implement that kind of study in those kinds of study habits in my life. But recently, in the last few years, once I started to crack those doors of learning, you just want to learn more and more. So even if it's hard at the beginning, those doors will become greased quite soon, and you'll want to learn more and more, and you'll want to study more and more. And if you divert your attention to the specific area of study that is beneficial to your soul, then even better for you. And then if you have kids, even better for your kids. And if you have students, even better for your students too. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is why we have programs for both adult and youth.
Sure.
Both adults and kids. Because in this way, adults and kids can learn together.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the same class per se, but that they're both engaging in study.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the first person the child learns from is the adult, more than their teachers. So hopefully at the initiative, what we're trying to do is provide a venue for which anyone who wants to learn that's Orthodox can come and, you know, take classes in catechism, take classes in academic class, take academic classes, etc., so that they can be nourished and edified and guided further to see how study and the life in Christ interact with each other.
Right. And we have St. John to thank for pointing that out so well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So glory to God. Well, I think that brings us to the end here. Okay. Thank you very much, Father John. Unless there was anything else you wanted to add, is there anything
else? I want to mention, many of my viewers or the viewers might know that Metropolitan Moses is offering a class on icons. So we had a tremendous response to that, the Monday night section. So we will be offering a second section starting next Thursday. Mm-hmm. So whether or not it runs or not depends on getting at least five people to enroll. So all the proceeds go to our scholarship fund. So in taking the class, you'll learn a lot about icons. Many of you will know that Metropolitan Moses is himself an iconographer. So you'll be learning, you'll be getting a tremendous amount of edifying material on icons, but you'll also be helping students who can't afford it to take classes with the initiative. So it's a win-win for everybody. And you can go to our website for information about that.
That's wonderful. Yeah. How often do we have a hierarch of our church be willing to be an iconographer himself, be willing to teach a class? And that'll be very exciting. Very exciting. Anybody who knows Metropolitan Moses knows how agreeable he is, knows how knowledgeable he is, and that should be an excellent class. That should be an excellent class.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one other thing about that. So we are a small group, and man, we don't have a vast skyscraper with the different, our staff is distributed throughout all the different floors.
You're not at the top of your skyscraper in rural Pennsylvania right now.
So with that understanding, if you run into a problem, for example, with the registration system or any other problem, please just contact us, and we will get back to you and help you through the problem. We did have a few snags with the registration system recently, but I hope everyone understands that, you know, it's a charitable organization under the auspices of our church, and everybody's pulling together to do this. So if you have a problem, please let us know. Don't disappear. We're happy to help you. You can call us. The website has the phone number, and we can flash it on the screen when you edit this facility, the phone number
sure.
on the website. You can call us, and if we're not there, you can leave a message. We'll get back to you within a few hours, and we'll be happy to help you with any problem you have. So we ask for your patience. We ask for your prayers. We ask for your support in every possible sense so that we can meet the call of our Savior to assist and to help children and adults in education and living the life in Christ and study. So,
yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you again, Father. Shall we say a prayer to end?
Yeah, let's sing The Angel Cried.
Like, all right, sounds good.
We only have one more day before.
I know. That's very sad.
The angel cried out unto her that is full of grace, O pure virgin, rejoice. And again I say rejoice, for thy son hath arisen from the grave on the third day. Shine, shine, O New Jerusalem, for the glory of the Lord hath arisen upon thee. Dance now and be glad, O Zion, and do thou exult, O pure Theotokos, in the arising of him whom thou didst bear.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and to the age of the ages. Amen. Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Christ is risen from the dead, by death, eternal, and death, and those in the grave shall still life. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Thank you, Vasily, for your help.
All right. Thank you. No problem. All right. Thank you.
This has been a production of the St. John of Damascus Orthodox Educational Initiative. The initiative is a program under the Eparchial Synod of America, GOC, providing a classical Orthodox education. For more information on the initiative, to register for classes, or to contribute, please visit orthodoxlearninggoc.com.